We're going to jump right into our sermon this morning. This is my last series. It's not my last series. It is my last sermon on the series, The God I Never Knew. And we started this off because I wanted to teach on the Holy Spirit, because no one, we were a church that flowed in the gifts and charismatic, we were not charismatic as far as the denomination. We was not Pentecostal as far as the denomination, but we were Pentecostal because we believed in the Pentecost, and we were charismatics because we believed in the gifts. That's what charismatic means, is the gifts. And so we believed in a God that still moved, a God that was still operating in humanity, that it did not die out with the last disciple, because the last disciple has not died out. The disciples continue to expand at the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. A disciple is someone who decides, I'm going to live my life, discipline myself, not to live the way I want to and the way that I have been living, the way that just brings me joy for this moment, but I'm going to discipline myself to live the life that Jesus lived, to walk like He walked, to talk like He talked. Not that you may have a Hebrew accent, but all of a sudden you allow the Word to govern your thoughts, your suggestions, and your ideas. Right. Because an idea pops up and you say, wait a minute, that's not an idea that goes in line with the Word of God. I will take that thought into captivity. That's what the Word says. It says we must renew our minds according to the Word of God. The Bible calls the Word a mirror that we look into and realize, man, we are jacked up and need some help. Have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, whoa? And then have you looked in the mirror and said, whoa? It's we won't get into that. But in all of this, the mirror of the Word of God will help us change our lives, help us fix things that are out of function here. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever looked and said, oh my Lord, I need some braces or some help with that tooth. So something that may not even be seen on a regular basis, you begin to examine in the mirror and you're like, something needs to be done to that. Or why is that black spot right there? That needs to be looked at by a dermatologist. Hello? Or, whoa, we need to run a little more. When you look into that mirror, hello, or maybe I need to back off some things. When you look into the mirror of the Word of God, it's the same way. We begin to look at things and be like, you know what? I need to get a little fitter in God's Word. I've allowed to become relaxed in this area of my life, and it is not producing what is healthy for me or the body of Christ. And so it will cause us. So we want to look in God's Word. I was told a lot about the Spirit of God when it came to an expression of the Spirit of God. We float, and you kind of had to catch it. There wasn't a teaching. You just kind of had to hang around people that had it and learn from them. There was no teaching. There should be teaching on the Spirit, the Godhead. Just as sure as we teach about God the Father, just as sure as we teach about God the Son, we need to know about the Holy Spirit. He is an entity. He is a personal being of the Godhead, not a power or a feeling or just something out there, a ball of electricity. He is a person of the Godhead, and we need to know Him as a person of the Godhead. Now, I want to start the sermon off about a place you may have heard of, Azusa Street, right? Many of you have heard about the Azusa Street Revival. In the United States, it's not the first outbreak of a Pentecostal movement in the United States, but it was the most effective breakout of Pentecostal movement. Actually, two of your largest denominations that flow in Pentecost are in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit came out of the Azusa Street Revival. Anyone know who they were? Assembly of God and the Church of God, the Tennessee branch. I didn't even know there were more branches until a couple years ago. Maybe 12 or 15 years ago. And so in all of this, your two largest denominations that flow in the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues came from the Azusa Street Revival. Now, it did not start on Azusa Street. It actually started on Bray, what was that one? I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Bonnie Bray Street. That's right. Bonnie Bray Street. And these streets are still in existence in California, Los Angeles. What happened was William Seymour was having meetings in this house, and people began to speak in tongues. Now, we can trace it all the way back. I'm giving you more history than you need to know, but I like history. Yeah. History intrigues me. I like it. Well, it all happened back in Welsh revival over in England, right? And it broke out there and it got big, but it kind of dwindled down very quickly among a lot of religious debates. And it's interesting when religion, you know, firm religion gets involved, not seeking the things of God, but this is what we believe and no one better touch what we believe. We need to be teachable. There's only one thing. I like what Paul stated. He says, there's only one thing I count. I count that I know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and crucified as the firm foundation of Christianity. And everything else, he said in a nice poetic way, as dung. I'll let you interpret that yourself. And so we need to be at a place where we don't hold fast to a denomination doctrine. Now, if we can see that doctrine by the Word of God, then hold fast to it. But if somebody brings up a scripture that contradicts what you believe, how about dive into God's Word and find an answer versus being like little children? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. No, 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 no. We believe this for 500 years. My great-grandma believed this. I don't want to listen to you. Instead of being children about it, let's be adults about it. Let's be disciples of Jesus about it and go back all the way to Azusa Street as they were Christian adults about the situation. Can I tell you that William Seymour, when this whole revival started, did not speak in tongues, didn't even know if it was of God. And it broke out in his church, home meetings. And then not only did he, but other people. And then all of a sudden his wife started speaking in tongues. Now when his wife started speaking in tongues, he decided, I better get into God's Word and find out if this is true. All right, yep. And guess what he did? He started reading the book of Acts. Yep. And then he started finding out that, you know, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, you know, all this stuff, or 18, and where it states that where Paul came to people and stated, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we don't even know if there be a Holy Spirit. So he just radically jumped up. You know, this is my mentality. And laid hands on them and said, receive! And they all began to shake wildly and speak in tongues. How it happened up here. But they received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So William Seymour came to the conclusion, this is of God. And so all of a sudden it exploded in the city, and they said the neighbors really had a hard time with it, because not because they were speaking in tongues, but because they couldn't get home during church meetings. That cars would just park in the street. People would just be everywhere. You were budging through crowds trying to get to your front door. That might cause a little bit of problem. I wouldn't mind causing a problem like that in our city. But let's have a move of God that causes people to seek it out. And so what happened, they came to the church, or to the home that was on Bonnie Bray Street. And then all of a sudden, as they're looking into the windows and standing on the porch, the foundation collapsed. A lot of people in one area. And the porch fell to the floor. So they began to seek another location, and that's where they found Azusa Street. They found a little bitty bit. It's just a small little street. And the rent was $8 a month for them. They began to flow. And you want to talk about denominational strife. They began to come against speaking in tongues. Well, if this is of God, then we would be doing it. So therefore, it must not be of God. I've been saved 50 years, bless God. I look like I sucked on a lemon ever since I've got saved. I am holy. I have denied all pleasure in my life. My whole family, we have denied pleasure for the kingdom of God. We look horrible, we act horrible, we are horrible. We have no fun whatsoever, we are holy. And that was their mentality. So if this was of God, we would have had it first. Isn't that denomination? Yeah. If this was of God, we would have had it first, because we are more holier. We are the first church of the frozen chosen, not the second church, but the first church of the frozen chosen. So if it was going to happen anywhere, here is where it would have happened. So William, you're the wrong color, you're the wrong attitude, you're the wrong everything. You meet in a house, for God's sakes, this is not of God. instead of going back to the Scripture and trying to find it in God's Word. See, Paul praised some of the churches by saying, hey, look, they didn't take what I said. They went back to the documents. They went back to the Word of God. Can I tell you that even the pouring of the Spirit out on mankind goes all the way back to the book of Job. Your daughters and your sons shall prophesy. Your old men will begin to have dreams and visions from God. This is a sign that the Spirit will be outpoured, Old Testament and New. So when this happened, they went back to the Scripture and started looking. At least we should be as smart to go back to the Scriptures and look it up. So out of that became the Pentecostal movement as we know it today. Out of the Azusa Street. And it's so amazing. I don't know if you've ever read, because they released, and he traveled all over the United States, which was amazing, and bringing the Spirit of God wherever he went. And churches that wanted it and desired it would bring him in. And they were Methodist. Yeah. They were Baptist. They were of all denominations. Because even in the denominations who stood against it, there were those who craved a move of God. Yeah. They craved a move of God and would defy the organization that they were a part of just so they could have a glimpse of a move of God. And that's how new denominations got started. Like we said, the Church of God and the Assemblies of God came out of that. There were other denominations, but those are the largest. And so there's three things I want to point out about the speaking in tongues. We're going to talk about some of the controversy that it has caused. And we're going to just hit it like a Mack truck. We're just going to talk about the issues. We're going to talk about why. We've already talked about some of the reasons. If you haven't listened, we're going to put them up online and you can listen to all of them. But we've talked about reasons why people say it is not of God. One, they didn't recognize that there's two. There's the gift of speaking in tongues, which is, and we'll discuss this as we continue, there's a gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation, which is different than the gift of grace of speaking in tongues. Now, grace means you don't deserve it, but you can have it. Hello? Have you ever got a gift you didn't deserve and you know you didn't deserve it from the moment you got it? Yeah. Some of you might have shouted for joy. Some of you might have cried. Some of you may have denied the gifts and no, I can't accept this. I have done nothing to deserve this, but it's a gift of grace. The good news about a gift of grace from the Lord is there's any gift from God is not because we deserve it, but it's because of the work that has been done for us. And so some of us, you know, there is a gift of speaking in tongues that is of grace, and then there is a gift of speaking in tongues that is of tongues and interpretation. And they're two different things. The Bible gives two different definitions for them. But if you do not understand that there are two, you will get, when it speaks about tongues and interpretation, you'll get it confused with speaking in tongues of grace, a prayer to God. See, I'll get into it really quickly, and then we're done on this subject. But speaking in tongues and interpretation is God speaking through you to the people. Or to a person. It could be to one individual, or it could be to the whole church, and it is from God. But praying in tongues, Paul states, it is the Holy Spirit praying through you to God. To God. And so those are two different definitions, two different types. And and just like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are many gifts of the Holy Spirit: patience, kindness, love, long-suffering. All these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So is speaking in tongues, so is tongues and interpretation. There's two different types. Now, three things about our heavenly language. One, it is scriptural. Two, it is beneficial. And three, are you ready for three? I don't think you're ready. We'll get there. Yep, I'm just going to give you two. And then we'll go on with the third one. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. So, we're going to let our bias, our information, those who've spoken tongues for years, and those who believe it is of the devil, we're not going to let any of those thought processes hinder us today. We're going to look in God's Word, see what God has to say about it. And guess what? Can I tell you, there have been subjects that I've been wrong about. There are tapes that I have that I have destroyed because of a statement I've made on them. I'm like, this is the last copy. I am going to destroy it. I don't want anyone hearing me say this. Because I have grown in the things of God and have come to fuller understanding and figured out, guess what? I was wrong on a subject. I know. Doesn't that shock you? That when I was saved and accept the title of pastor, I didn't know everything? That's insane. It shocked me too. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now notice that it says in the Spirit. You're going to see this term throughout the Bible, in the Spirit. When it's talking about praying in the Spirit, it will say in the Spirit and it will say with the Spirit, and it is referring to speaking in tongues. Every time you see praying with the Spirit or in the Spirit, we're talking about our heavenly language. And we see it through Jude. We see it through the Corinthians. We just see it everywhere where we talk about speaking in tongues. All right, now let's just jump down to verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. What prays? Your spirit prays. Can I tell you something? You are a spirit. Yes. If you believe you are this flesh, you're going to spend millions of dollars trying to get your flesh looking good at 80 and 90 and 120, however long you make it. I used to tell people I was going to live to 120, and I said I had a plan, and everybody wanted to know my plan. And so I told them I'm going to live to 119 and then be very careful. that was my goal, to live to 120. But, you know, I don't even know. We're just going to get done with my life that I am called to live, and then maybe live a year or two more just to see some people I love and then go home to be with Jesus. So I'm not even putting a date or time on it. But we'll see when praying in tongues, praying with the Spirit or praying in the Spirit. But let's continue reading. But my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, I pray in the Spirit. Is my spirit... Oh, I didn't finish the thought. If your flesh, if you are caught up in your flesh, you're going to spend money in wrong places. And not that you shouldn't spend money on your flesh. Can I tell you, you need to minister to your flesh. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying live in sin, but I'm just saying, you know, there's nice things. There's good things that you can do for yourself. Going fishing ministers to your flesh. Maybe not to your flesh, ladies, but to my flesh, it ministers. It ministers not to hear babies crying or whining and nobody complaining and just like, yes, Jesus. And I always ask the Lord, well, give me just one. If we have just a horrible day of fishing, just give me one. And so far, I have always had at least one. So you can testify. Preach a little more on fishing. Okay, I will. And ladies, I don't know what it is you do, but maybe, you know, shopping, window shopping. Y'all just window shop. Don't get in there and spend all that money. But, you know, you can shop off. But there are certain things you do for yourself that is just for you, that don't make no other sense and no other way. I had Jessie not too long ago. I don't even remember what it was, but she was asking me, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, you're right. You're 100%. It makes no logical sense whatsoever. I just want you to know, in the future, to continue to expect this because I like it. There's no other reason for it except it brings me pleasure. So that's it. That's it. So, oh, wow. And I'm going to go back over to this side. And so there are some things that are nothing more than, can I tell you, God concerned about that too? Because he said everything he created was for your good pleasure. He didn't even have to make that many colors throughout the world or that many kinds of fish. There could only be one fish and we would have been fine with it, would have known no difference. And we could have only had chicken and fish and that be it. And known no different. But I'm thankful for the filet mignon. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm thankful for sweet potato casserole. There ain't no reason for that. There is, when you put that much sugar and marshmallows and nuts on a sweet potato, there is no call for that. None whatsoever, except for your pleasure. That is the only thing that is for. And so it's fine, but let's not go overboard. Hello? Because you might go overboard, right? And so it's fine to minister to your flesh, but we must live a life that is a spirit. But if you live only in the flesh, you will think this is who you are. Right. And when you begin to get wrinkly, oh, Lord forbid, or a spot show up, or things begin to crack, snaggle, and pop, or eyesight fail, I can testify, or whatever it is, that as you get older, there's some people in their 20s looking at me like this. Oh my God, please stop. This is not encouraging at all. But this is not who you are. This will actually die. There's a statement I've been saying to myself more and more lately, looking at nice things, nice homes, and I love all these things, and I love all, you know, boats and all this stuff. But I just look at all of it and say, this will all burn. It will all burn. It will all go away. You know, someone asked me, do you believe in global warming? The Bible says the whole earth will burn. You'd get no more global warming than that right there. We may disagree on how it happens, but it says this earth will melt and God will build it again. So things that have stood for hundreds of years, mountains that have been here forever, will one day burn to a crisp. So this flesh, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Now you can take care of it and make it look nice. I ain't preaching against that. But what I'm telling you is keep a mentality that this flesh will turn to dust. It was created from dirt. It will return to dirt. And everything you do in the long run, you know, let's stay healthy. Let's run our race. We want to be fit. But my God, let's not look in the mirror and think this is all there is. And some of you, it may be very hard to look in the mirror and not say, my God, this is all there is. But you are a spirit that will live forever. You are a spirit that will live forever. The good news is we have already seen the realty papers on both locations where we can go. One place is hot as hell. The other place is cool as heaven. And we get to decide where we're going to live for the rest of eternity. And I would just recommend accepting Jesus as your Savior. Get away from needing the fireproof insurance, hello, and get into heaven where you can live for eternity because your spirit will live forever. Now get this, it says when we pray in the Spirit, it is our spirit that prays. Can I, okay, so you're a three-part being. The God is three parts, you're three parts. You are flesh, you are spirit, and you are soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your spirit is who you really are. And this flesh is just to get you around in this earth. And they all have desires by themselves. Because sometimes, if you don't believe that, your mind and your flesh will fight each other every once in a while. Mine has. Mine will say, get that extra piece of pie. And my mind says, no, you'll be a fat. You're going to have to run more. Because when I run on a treadmill, I look at the calorie intake. I know that may be all junk. I don't know. But I run for like 45 minutes and it says 140 calories. And I look at that and I think, one can of Coke. 45 minutes and all I did was a can of Coke. This is disgusting. And so sometimes my spirit, my flesh will cry out for that piece of pie or other desserts. And my brain will say, no. But then there's times that my brain and my spirit, or excuse me, my brain and my flesh will agree on a subject and my spirit says, no, we are a three-part being. Your brain, your soul, and your flesh, it will die and turn to dust, but your spirit will live forever. Let's make sure we're on the path of eternity to get to the place that we want to live for eternity. Hello? But I wanted to bring all that up to say this. Maybe, just maybe, your spirit is connected to God in a level that your brain and your flesh is not. And just maybe, I want to put this out there for your thought process. Maybe your spirit knows something that your flesh and your soul does not know. So maybe when it says, I pray with the Spirit and I also pray with my understanding, let's just go ahead and assume everybody's here language, their first native language is English. So we're just going to say English. So we can say it this way, I pray in the Spirit, but I pray also in English. And so you have the ability to pray in English, and I think you should. You should pray in English for the things you know. But then there is something you need to tap into and allow your spirit to pray. Yes. It might know something that your flesh is not in line with. It may know something that your brain is not in line with. Because your brain sometimes wants to just sit down and do nothing after work instead of doing what you know you need to do. And I am not saying you can't take a break. Everybody needs a break. But we need to be led by the Spirit of God. It is your spirit that will last forever. It is your flesh and your mind that will burn. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. And also, we've already said this. I'll pray in English and I'll pray in the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. Do you know there's singing in tongues? There is a singing in tongues. And it says, I will sing with my understanding. Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what you say? So this is talking about a church service. When we're having church service and we're preaching, the whole church shouldn't just jump up and speak in tongues. I know what I'm preaching is good. I know on the inside of you right now, you want to jump up, run, scream, dance, shout, yes, Lord, that's good, Pastor. Oh, yes. Your spirit is acting. Your spirit wants to run just like when some of you eat chocolate. Mm. Or fried chicken in my case. Yes, thank you. Praise God. I can eat fried chicken every day or close to it. That's good stuff. And when you're done, you just take the pot and you can anoint yourself with it. I mean, it is some holy stuff. I'm going to anoint my head, but I'm going to anoint my insides too. Just eat the chicken. No. Y'all get me off so quickly here. But what we're saying is there is order to a church service. But like, I've heard people in the Pentecostal say, oh, we just want to move with the Spirit. Well, the Spirit moves in order. Now, it may seem like chaos to mankind, but there is order. And can I tell you something? He doesn't violate his own word. The Holy Spirit does not violate the word. He says when we're in a group like this and there's preaching and there's teaching, that it's not meant for everybody to jump up and have a word and speaking in tongues. Because it says, how shall those that are unlearned, those that are unsaved, those that are Baptists, Methodists, how shall they say amen?
Right.
Because they don't understand.
Right.
So if we're going to speak in tongues in church, in middle of a service, there needs to be an interpretation.
Right.
That's what he's saying. And so there's two types of speaking in tongues. There's a type of praying in tongues where there's an interpretation, praying interpretation, that is a gift. And again, we will say, I am very redundant. God speaking to you, through you, to someone else. And then there is an interpretation to it. Could come from the person who gave the tongue or someone else to the church or to an individual. And then praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit is a grace that is given to you that your spirit hooks up with the Holy Spirit and prays to the Father above. Two different types. Man, if I was told that as a teenager, it would have changed a whole lot of studying for me and some confusion. Now, so we have said that praying in tongues, it is scriptural. Number two, it is a benefit. It is a benefit. Jump back up to verse 14 and 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. The word edify means to build up. And so we can say it this way. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up. Or he that prophesies edifies the church or builds up the whole church. So that's the reason we need to, when we're in a group like this, if you jump up with a speaking in tongues, there needs to be an interpretation to it. So it edifies the whole church. Not that you don't speak in tongues in the church. We sing in the Spirit. There's times for that. But when the service is in hand and started, it's not that we're going to jump up and just everybody go wild. Now, there may be some moves of the Spirit like that. I'm not going to knock that down. But what I'm saying is there needs to be an explanation.
Yes.
There needs to be a teaching.
Right.
And there needs to be a word so those that are in that do not know of this can say, ah, amen.
Exactly.
Oh, I see this in the Word. Amen. And so there needs to be an amen that goes along with it. Now, question, who penned, I'm going to say this, not who wrote, because we know God wrote the whole Bible, but who penned 1 Corinthians that we're reading? Paul did. Now, we're going to look at Ephesians. Who penned Ephesians? Paul penned Ephesians as well. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, is the Bible is inspired by God, given to man to write down. So Paul is the one who wrote it, but the Holy Spirit is the author. He is the one that gave it to mankind from God Almighty. And so this word is his word, but Paul is the one who wrote both these books. So I want to look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at the whole armor of God. We're not going to get into definition or teaching on the armor of God, but I want to read a part of the armor of God that most preachers leave off. And it's not even, most people don't even consider it a part of the armor. And it's right there. So let's look at Ephesians 6 and 13. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we in some evil days right now? The armor of God will let us stand. And not just, because some people look at like standing, like, I got kids who will stand. I can't stand, Daddy. I can't stand, hold me. No, stand up. No. They're like, no, you've walked here. You wanted to be here. I explained what's going on. You're going to stand. I'm not carrying you. Stand up. And so some people may imagine, I'm in the evil days. It's so hard to stand. I think the Lord would look at us and say, straighten up. I told you in this whole earth that you will be able to stand if you put on the armor of God. So stop acting like a little bitty baby that must be held by the hand every few minutes, but stand up. And so we are able to stand, verse 14, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And everything is really based on the truth. Because can I tell you, you can misinterpret the word of God and you'll start to lose some battles in some areas. Because some people will try to teach you that sickness and disease is God trying to teach you a lesson, and you will believe that, take that, and then you will get, you just won't stand correctly when it comes to that subject. So we got to have the right word of God on the inside of us. Okay, so let's get this. We've got to learn God's word, put it on the inside of us. So verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all, not some, but all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, you got to cover that mind, with salvation, understanding salvation, because there are people who don't understand salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We got to have God's word. That's what's going to fight battles for us. Praying always with all prayer. Verse 8, they never get to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the what?
Spirit.
In the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit and watching thereunto all preservation and supplication for all the saints. Can I just ask this question? Might there be saints of God who are losing battles today because they are not fully equipped with God's armor? Praying in tongues is part of the armor of God. It is a powerful tool that has been overlooked for so long. And even in the Pentecostal denominations, it'd be, oh, it feels good, so do it. That ain't why we do anything. Eating broccoli does not feel good. But you do it for the greens. Some of you are looking like, yes, it does. Okay, well, you're just a weirdo. Sorry. Broccoli is not good unless you cover it with something. So in all of this, there are things, we don't pray in tongues because it just makes us, and you may feel power. You may get in, your spirit all of a sudden gets in, or your flesh gets in connection with the power source that's running through you. And I'll tell you, there's been many times that I've prayed in tongues that I'm like, this is amazing. There have been many moves of God that that have come through the church or that I've had on my by myself in my prayer closet, wherever it is that you experience the Lord on a regular basis, that has been so amazing that it's here like, I don't know what, you know, I don't know how to explain it. This is so over and beyond anything that I have ever sensed, felt, or experienced that this is an addiction that I must have, feed, and support. And so your flesh may feel it, but that's not why we do it. It may be some reason why you get into it, but I'm telling you, that's not the final result. It is an armor of God that we must have, that we must use and use it properly. So let's look at, I'm just going to read this, write this down. Jude 20. Now, for most of you that know the Bible, you understand that Jude is only one chapter. So if you go and read a chapter, be like, I'm going to read a whole chapter of the Bible today. Go to Jude. I'm going to read a whole book today. You can tell, I read a whole book of the Bible today. Book of Jude. It's only just a couple verses. It's awesome. But verse 20, it says, but ye beloved, building up yourself, another edifying yourself. We see another place where it says building yourself up, edifying yourself on your most holy faith. Most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to ask this question. Some of you might say, there are times in my life that I just need to build myself up. I just feel so drained. I feel so down. I need to build myself up. Could you just, by showing of hand, you've ever been there? Ever been there? Speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit says it edifies and builds you up. I'm going to think that the church, especially in the latter days, needs to build ourselves up. I want to talk, Mom, you can help me with this person, because we used to listen to a tape all the way back. I mean, going all the way back to tapes. Anybody remember those things? Okay. Tapes of an evangelist, a lady who came out of Vegas, who got saved. Oh, she tried to commit suicide. Sandy Brown. I loved listening to her. But she tried to commit suicide and ended up wrecking. And then there was a sign for a church, and she took that as a sign from God that she needed to get her life right, got saved. Then all of a sudden she was reading in the Bible that people spoke in tongues. And she's like, well, my church, she went to a Baptist church and never told me about this. So she's like, I'm going to get it. And she was at work. And guess what she was? She was one of those Vegas dancing girls, you know, the big feathers on her head. And she said she was at her break. She was on break. And she began to say, well, she read her Bible on break. And she read that the Holy Spirit fell with the speaking tongues. She said, well, I'm going to speak in tongues. And she said, I didn't even know how. So I just thought, I'm going to do it. I am just going to do it. And so she said, yabba dabba do. That's how she started off. And she laughed, thought it was hilarious. So she said it again. Yabba dabba do. And she said she began to laugh even harder. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit her. And she, let me just rephrase that for a moment. Some of you that might not know the term, the Holy Spirit hit her. The Holy Spirit did not walk up to her and slap her across the face. The Holy Spirit ascended upon her. She felt the anointing of God Almighty and then began to speak in tongues. But she took a step of faith to begin with. That's why I love when I hear stories like this about people who've never been in the body, because they don't have enough religion on the inside of them from stop them from doing what God has called them to do. And I want to tell another one. There's a pastor in Texas who talks about he was Baptist and he didn't believe in speaking in tongues. He thought it was of the devil. And he began to study on the subject to prove to his church it was of the devil. And as he began to study, he began to not find a way to prove to his church it was of the devil. Right. So he went to a pastor that he had good friends with. He said, I'm trying to show my church this is of the devil, but I'm not finding the scripture to show me. Help me find the scripture. And he says, that minister that he took great comfort in said, well, I'll tell you what, and we'll just keep this with ourselves because of our denominational beliefs, but I pray in the spirit as well. And there is no scripture that you will find that says it's of the devil. And he began to train. And so he says, well, what do I do? He says, I encourage you to begin to speak in tongues. And he said, well, how do I do that? And he says, well, you know, I'm Baptist. I don't know. He said, just go home and pray in tongues and do it in faith. And he said for 30 days. Now, I'm just telling you people's experience. They're all different. I'm going to tell you mine in a minute. They're all different. But he said he began to go home, and he would get away from his wife, walk out in the backyard, and he would walk around the yard and pray. And he says, I just began to pray in faith and tongues. And he says, and it didn't make no sense to me. And I questioned, and he said, honestly, I felt stupid the entire time because it didn't seem like anything. He said, honestly, my brain was telling me, you're just making up words and you're an idiot and you're wasting time. But he said, my pastor, the pastor I've submitted myself unto, told me to do this, so I'm going to do it every day. And he said, all of a sudden, on the 30th day, he began to pray. And he said, all of a sudden, something hit him. And he began to speak with authority. And he said his hands began to flail. He said, I just think back about it. If my neighbors or my wife saw me, he says, all of a sudden I got really loud. And he said, I just began to holler and I'm shaking my hands. He says, I don't even know what I'm saying, but all of a sudden there is a power that is hooked up with my praying that was not there before. And so he's one of the largest churches in Texas at this time now. And so now, not only that, but now let me tell you my experience. I remember my sister. I was raised in church all my life. I was 4 years old. 4 years old. And me and my sister was 4 years older than me, so she was 8, my oldest sister. And she came back, and I'm playing or doing something, drawing, not paying attention to anything. You know, they're praying. They're Pentecostal. They shout and scream all the time. I ain't paying attention to them. And so, you know, I'm trying to have fun on my own. I'm playing games, playing with whatever I had. And my sister, Monda, comes back to the seat, and she's all slumped over, and she's speaking in tongues. And I look at her. And I think, this had nothing to do with Jesus, nothing to do with God. I looked at her and said, what does she have that I don't? What is she doing? And I looked at my father and said, what is going on with her? And he said, well, she received the Holy Spirit. I said, well, can I get it? And he said, well, yeah. I said, how do I do this? He said, why don't you go talk to the preacher? And the pastor is laying hands on people at the altar. I walk right up to him, grab the back of his jacket and yank on it. He turns around and says, what do you want? I said, my sister just received the Holy Spirit. He says, yeah. I said, I want it. He says, okay. raise your hands. Bring it on like Donkey Kong. Let's do this. And he lays hands on me, and he says, you'll receive the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in tongues in 3, 2, 1. And when he said one, there was a rush that hit me, and only one word came out, one sound, probably not even a word, a syllable, like a bleh, I don't know. But it was powerful. It was powerful, and I thought, oh, my Lord, I don't know what this is, but I want a lot more of it. And I just began to pray, and only that one syllable kept coming out. And you know what's crazy? Most people would experience that. Look at that. That's ridiculous. That's not speaking tongues. That's one. Well, you know what? When you're a baby, only one freaking word comes out. And Norm, sorry, I got a little too involved in that. Y'all stop judging my experience. It was awesome. And so, what, you know, when a baby says, yeah, yeah, we go all excited. Look, she's saying da, da. No, she's not. It's duh. If she was in fourth grade, we would send her to speech counseling. But she's a baby, and we love it.
That's right.
So when you first walk in it, God doesn't say, Jesus, listen to them. What idiots. They don't even got it right yet. No, we're just stepping into it. And my experience was not full blown. Some people, full blown, just speaking in tongues instantly. But it's a gifting that we grow in.
Amen.
We grow in it. And can I tell you, the more you do it, the more elaborate that your language will become. Just like the more you speak English, the more elaborate your speech should become. Can I tell you this? At 5 years old and 55, your speech should be a little bit different. Your vocabulary should be different. But it only comes from walking in it.
That's right.
Now, are you ready for my last point? I haven't given you this one yet. It is scriptural. It benefits you. And number three, it's a choice. It's a choice. It compares it to praying in English. Are you forced to pray in English? Are you forced to read your Bible? Does reading your Bible build you up? Does it edify you? Does praying in English edify you? Absolutely. Praying in the Spirit also edifies you. It also builds you up. Now, it's a choice. Look at what Paul stated. He said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue. He says, if. Giving us the understanding that it is his option. Can I tell you this? I can pray at any time in tongues I want to. And this is what I also love, that the world is becoming so diverse. Sometimes people don't even know. I have walked around in Chicago. I was in a mall in Chicago, and everyone was speaking different languages around me. And I'm like, this is amazing. I'm in America, and we have all kinds of languages going on. So I decided that I would only speak in tongues for the rest of the day. You might say, Pastor, that's not scriptural. I wasn't in church. I wasn't in church. I was around all. So I just began to shop in tongues. You might say, what does that have to do? That was ridiculous. It was, but I enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm not encouraging you to do this. This is me because it's part of who I am. I'm ridiculous. There are times I'm absolutely ridiculous, but I love it. I can tell you something, since Jesse's already gone. So I can tell you this. You know, Jesse, sometimes I'm pretty childish at some points in my life. I do things that make no sense, but just bring me pleasure. I talk to strangers for no other reason than they're a stranger and I want to talk to them. And I can embarrass people that hang out with me sometimes. And sometimes I act in a manner that can embarrass people. I understand that, but I like that about me. I like me that way. And so not too long ago, I told Jesse, I said, honey, there are things that embarrass you that you roll your eyes. And I just want you to understand that from now on in public, when I do something, if I see disgust on your face, I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to notch it up a little bit. I'm going to bring it to the next level. No longer am I going to try to rein this in, this amazing awesomeness in, when I see that it embarrasses you. I'm just going to turn it up. You know, I'm just saying, basically, you can tell me in a manner that it embarrasses you that I'll bring it back. But if you're like, I am going to go hog wild with it. And so I was in the mall and I just began to shop in tongues. I mean, I walked in the store and I wanted to ask the lady how much this was. And I'm like, wait, because it didn't have a tag on it. And then I thought, wait a minute, I've made a determination today that I'm just going to pray in tongues the whole time. So I just looked at her and prayed in tongues. And she looked at me and says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know that language. And she said, Javier, come here. Come, Javier, where are you, Javier? Get over here. Javier comes and I just look at him and I pray in tongues. And he goes, not Spanish. in Spanish. And so he speaks to me in Spanish, and then I speak to him back in tongues, and he looks at me and says, no, that's not Spanish. And so they had one more person to come over to speak in a language. I don't even know what it was. And the lady looked at the lady who called them over and says, it's not my language. I don't know what he's speaking. And so turns around, and they walk away. And so I speak in tongues, and I'm like pointing toward where the price tag would be. She's like, oh, you want to know how much is this? And I'm held, and then I just speak in tongues some more. And then, you know, and I end up buying it because I liked it, but I just went the whole day speaking in tongues, and I'm telling you this for this reason. As I'm walking in the mall, I just begin to sing in tongues, just walking and singing. And I'm here like, I'm not in church. This is fun. I'm enjoying myself being ridiculous in the body of Christ. And so, you know, we need some of that. Not everybody. We'd be crazy if we're everybody. But we need some of that. And so as I'm walking, a lady comes up behind me, taps me on the shoulder and says, excuse me, sir. Well, you know, and I forget immediately because I'm thinking maybe she needs help. And I turn around and say, yes, ma'am, how can I help you? And she said, what is that language that you're singing in? I said, well, you know, the language is the name of it is kind of hard to say, but the interpretation of it means tongues of angels. And she looks at me and she says, it most definitely is. And so, you know, we should pray in tongues. Paul said, being the good southern man that he was, said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. More than all of y'all. I pray in tongues. Paul, he was southern Judea, somewhere up in there. I'm from southern Wisconsin. I don't know where you're from. But he said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. He made it a point to pray in tongues. But he says, I make a choice. If I pray, I pray in tongues. And can I tell you something? I can get as loud as I want. And I can get as quiet as I want. And I can pray in tongues at any time of my life. I can pray in tongues in a crowded room and nobody would know I was praying in tongues. And not because I decided to pray in tongues where everybody could hear me. And they're like, no, I can pray in tongues in a manner that nobody will hear me. I could pray in tongues out loud. This is what people almost feel like. Oh, I've had somebody say, I don't want to pray in tongues because what if I get a devil? I mean, like, I want to say this. I don't say this. I just want to be like, you're an idiot. Like, I am so sorry that your denomination has made you so ignorant to the things of God. Let's just put that in natural language. God the Father. I'm going to play God the Father, okay? I'm God the Father up in heaven. You know, I'll be like, oh, God, what is going on? Oh, I guess he doesn't say, oh, God. Oh, myself. Can't those people in Turkey and France and all this place get their stuff in order? Look what's going on in Dallas, Jesus. Who is that? Lewis, what is Lewis asking for? He wants to pray in tongues. I tell you what, Holy Spirit, we're busy today. I'll teach him to read his Bible, believe in my word. Send him a devil. Send him a devil. That is the same. I mean, that's what we're saying. Is it people are reading in Acts chapter 2. They're seeing it throughout Acts. They're seeing it in Jude. They're seeing it in 1 Corinthians. They're seeing speaking in tongues with the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. They're seeing it in my word, but they're afraid they're going to get a devil? They're afraid this is the devil? God is not going to... you know what? I'm thinking of a scripture. I got to find it first. You ain't got to turn there. We're done. We're pretty much done. We're going to pray for people. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to speak in tongues today if you want to. Yes, that's where I'm going. Luke chapter 11. If a son shall ask for bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Talking to daddies, talking to mamas here. If your kid asks you for food, you're going to give him a stone? Leave me alone. Here's a rock. Go eat that. Break your teeth out. Is that what you're going to do? And he says, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Here, don't ask me for food. I'm going to give you something that'll kill you. If ye be an evil, in other words, if you've made mistakes in your life, if you have sinned in your life and God has never sinned, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for the
word. Why in the world would we ever think Jesus, God Almighty, the Father, would give you a devil when you're asking for a gift of the Holy Spirit? Let's just even say it wasn't for today. Let's say we're asking for something that's not even a gift. Has your kid ever asked you for something impossible? My kid asked me, Daddy, I'd like to go touch the moon. I'm like, well, how do you want to do that? Let's go to outer space, Daddy. let's go to outer space. And I said, baby, I believe in your lifetime, that's going to be an option for you. But daddy just doesn't have the ability to right now to take you to the moon. Well, when? Probably soon. I'm not sure. But they're already working on it, honey. They're already trying to create something that can get us up there. But right now, we don't have it. You know what I didn't do? I didn't slap her. I said, you are so ridiculous. Grow up, you five-year-old. But we act that God would do the same thing to us, asking for something that is not of his will, that God would just slap us down. And are we not the adopted into the body of Christ? He does not treat us the same way, even if we ask for something that's unscriptural. Have you ever found out you prayed for something that wasn't of God? He didn't beat you down. What makes you think, I'm going to teach them? Jesus, what's the closest devil to their location? Depression? Okay, send that over to their house right now, could you? They need to. Don't they know that the Bible's only for the priest to read? That's ridiculous. They get all confused. That's not the way God is. So this is what I want to do. Right now, I am done. I have taken too long, but it was the end, and I knew I wasn't going to get to this subject again for a little while. But it is scriptural, it is beneficial, and it is our choice. It is our choice. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you.